Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. And it's our pleasure to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Dan, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
We are all doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us here on the show. And Dan, I want to start with the Super Bowl matchup. Tom Brady getting to his 10th Super Bowl, 43 years old, taking the Bucs to the Super Bowl in his first year. What kind of an accomplishment is this? I mean, this guy's won everything. He's done everything. Where does this rank in terms of Brady's accomplishments in his career?
Oh, it's at the top. I mean, I said this, I think, after the NFC title game the day after. I said, Tom Brady has the longest list of incredible accomplishments when it comes to NFL careers, and this one's at the top. We haven't given enough credit to the reality of what this year has been. The emotional toll of leaving a place that was home for him and his family, and that he took them and everybody associated with New England on an incredible 20-year run, like a magical once-in-a-lifetime run, the emotional toll of that, and then to leave, and then to go through the global pandemic, and to not have the opportunity to be around his teammates and his coaches, you know, in the springtime in the traditional fashion, and then not getting the traditional training camp, not getting preseason reps and all that stuff. Like, if there was ever a season that we could sit here and point to as reasons for failures, now people always often call those excuses or reasons for failures, this would be the one. And somehow this superhuman freakazoid machine is back in the Super Bowl. And I expected it to be the case, but that has actually happened blows my mind.
The other guy in this game, Dan, pretty good quarterback on the other side too. he does have protection issues in this game, and he's going against a team that I think that's obviously a huge part of why Tampa Bay is here. What's your concern level from the Kansas City perspective on, you know, keeping him upright and enabling him to do what he does?
Yeah, a couple things. I think Patrick's going to have to play the best game he's ever played to win. The best NFL game he's ever played to win. I mean, we're talking about going against the top five defense, top five offense, and you have five backup offensive linemen in. You know how many of those games you're supposed to win? Zero. And let alone this being the Super Bowl. So I think, first of all, Patrick's going to have to take some ownership of not allowing this defensive line to get going in this game. You know, holding on to the football, not being disciplined with your decision-making when it comes to the RPO game, trying to do too much and create too much will get you in trouble. So he's got to take some ownership, again, especially early on in this game. And then I think that the reality is how well they can get the ball to the perimeter to force this defense to play side to side. And, you know, when you do that and create that space, you don't need all five offensive linemen to create really good blocks or make really good blocks. You need three of them, too, because you've created the space for it. So I think that'll be a big thing to pay attention to for Kansas City's offense, is how well they do a good job with that.
ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, I'm interested to get your take on the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston. I mean, to me, it's unbelievable that the Texans have allowed it to get to this point where he wants out, and you're probably going to lose a franchise quarterback that's absolutely probably on track to becoming a Hall of Famer at the age of 25. What do you think of all this, and what do you think the best fit is for Deshaun Watson if he ends up leaving Houston?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest organizational, if not the biggest organizational mistake I've ever seen, at least in my time in the NFL. My only issue with it right now is that people continue to tie it to, like, the on-the-field stuff. You know, like, that Deshaun is asking out because it has anything to do with football. Deshaun's not asking out or demanding out because of what is transpiring on the football field. Deshaun's asking out because things aren't in that organization off the field aren't right. That's why, like, Brett Favre's comments of, like, you know, we get paid a lot of money to do a job. Yeah, dude, this isn't the conversation here. The conversation is, you know, treating people the right way and not crossing lines that should not be crossed. That's the conversation here. And so I don't think he ever plays for Houston again. I have felt that way. I also think something that's not being talked about enough is who his agent is. David Mulgeta is one of the most powerful agents in football. Jalen Ramsey is a client. He got him out of Jacksonville. So I think that Deshaun has made it very clear that this is bigger than football. This is about the human, the person. He'll never play there again. Now, Houston's got to sit there and go, well, this stinks. You know, we're going to lose this guy. That being said, you're going to lose this guy. Whether you want to or not, whether you play hardball or not, you better get as much as you can for him. And Mike Tannenbaum made this point at the end of the week, and I thought it was really smart. You got two teams in the NFL draft this year that have two picks each in the first round, and they both happen to play in the same division. Cha-ching. You know, get Miami and New York against each other, and losing, not getting Deshaun Watson would hurt. Allowing your division rival to get Deshaun Watson would hurt even more. You think about it. If you're the Jets and he goes to Miami, you got to play Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson four times a year. You won't win the division for the next dozen years. Now, where's the ideal or best fit? And he's remarkable. For any quarterback that's trying to leave, the best place is San Francisco, and the second best place is Indy. And so if he can get to one of those, and that's an interesting part of it as well, is does Houston sit there and go, yeah, we'll take less value to get you out of our conference. That'll be interesting to see how much they kind of weigh those two aspects.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And just an incredible quarterback movement year all the way around. So, Dan, you've made your feelings clear on Matthew Stafford. Obviously, you know him well, but a terrific player. And the Rams took a big swing here, I think, are set up to really make a run with him. What are people missing on Matthew Stafford? I understand people don't talk about, you know, playoff wins and things like that, but maybe need to have the proper context of where he's been playing. And then also, Dan, on Jared Goff, what is his upside in this league moving forward?
Yeah, these are one of those moments where I love being in this draft, because this is when I get to dunk on people sometimes. So everyone goes, well, Matthew Stafford is just a stat guy. The guy doesn't have any wins. And they're like, well, if he's so good, why doesn't he win enough football games? Matthew Stafford sucks. In the same breath, people are like, Jared Goff stinks, man. He only went to the Super Bowl because of Sean McVay. Yeah, folks, Jared Goff is second in the NFL over the last 4 years in wins. You can't say both of those things. You can't say Matthew Stafford stinks because he doesn't win enough, and then say Jared Goff stinks when he wins more than anybody in the NFL over the last 4 years besides one guy. And so Matthew's a guy that has succeeded individually, even though every aspect that you're relying on to be successful has been a failure around him. The Rams are getting a guy that is incredible leader, incredible tough, one of the top five arm talents in the NFL. Their offense got 10 points better because of him. Jared Goff, really good young player. Does the one thing that is the most important physical attribute in the NFL, playing that position, place the ball where you want to. I think that it gets him the great opportunity to go redefine who he is. Everyone has always tied Jared Goff to Sean McVay. Now he gets to go create his own identity. And the reality is that, he's a young quarterback that has been to the Super Bowl. Has been to the playoffs on three different occasions and won two playoff games. And, you know, now has been disrespected. And what does he do with that emotional feeling to spring him moving forward?
The ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Dan, we appreciate so much you taking a few minutes to carve out of your day and join us here on the show. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
Absolutely. Okay. You as well. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live with special guest, former Predator Jordan Tutu. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And we've also gone virtual this year, so that means you can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, for joining us in the last segment. And some very interesting comments by Orlovsky looking ahead at this game coming up on Sunday between Kansas City and Tampa Bay, talking about Patrick Mahomes and the type of game that he expects Mahomes will have to play if Kansas City is going to win this Sunday. Here's what Dan Orlovsky had to say on that front regarding Patrick Mahomes.
I think Patrick's going to have to play the best game he's ever played to win. The best NFL game he's ever played to win. I mean, we're talking about going against the top five defense, top five offense, and you have five backup offensive linemen in. You know how many of those games you're supposed to win? Zero. And let alone this being the Super Bowl.
So Orlovsky saying Mahomes is going to have to play the best game of his NFL career to win this matchup in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. Joe Rexro, do you buy that? Do you buy that Mahomes is going to have to play the best game he's ever played if Kansas City is going to win this game?
Love Dan Orlovsky for many reasons. I mean, one of the great highlights of Lions football over the last 20 years. One of the great Dans we've had on this Dan show. Many great Dans.
Many great Dans today.
Certainly one of the finest Dans we've had on this show. I'm so glad he dunked on people. Jared on the Stafford thing. But, man, if Patrick Mahomes has the best game he's ever played in the NFL, dude, they're going to win by 30.
But it's not the same offensive line, so maybe the best game means you're having to overcompensate for some weaknesses that you might have at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but I
guess his best game that he's played may not necessarily be the best statistical game that he's ever had.
Okay. I suppose I can buy that. I still will say that however you want to measure it, if Patrick Mahomes has the best game he's ever played, this won't be close.
You're probably right.
This won't be close. I mean, the Bucs, I flip it around. To me, the Bucs have to force one of his worst games. And maybe they can because of these limitations up front that we talk about. But I think the Bucs only win if he has one of his worst games. If he has his best game, I mean, come on.
It's going to be tough to handle.
It's video game stuff.
Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Who you got winning in the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, the Chiefs or the Buccaneers? 203 votes are in, 62% going with the Chiefs, 38% with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought it would be a little higher with the Chiefs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I might have guessed. I might have guessed 70%.
Yeah.
Right in there. I would have guessed maybe about, so what is it, 62?
Yeah.
So it's the percentage of penalties the Preds are killing right now, basically.
Wow.
So, saying.
Yeah, that's how it's going. But yeah, 62% going with the Chiefs, 38% with the Bucks. We're going to have Pigskin Pick'em coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll see which direction we all go in picking this game. I think could be a very interesting edition of Pigskin Pick'em coming up. A lot of props to get to.
This is it. I mean, this is
our chance.
Right, like this is the last chance to catch Morth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this
good luck.
Thanks. We appreciate that.
By the way, we're going to be basically doing what we're doing on thegamenashville.com with Super Picks.
Correct.
So you can hear us make our picks next segment and then log on to thegamenashville.com and make yours.
That is correct.
And potentially win an Arctic cooler.
Arctic cooler.
Or as Robbie likes to say, an RTIC cooler. That's fine, too. However, whatever you want
to
call it.
No Ron Burgundy pull of the day by Robbie Stanley. Ladies and gentlemen, read it right.
Potato, potato. Yeah. Ham Hughes, ham Huis.
Who cares?
Arctic, RTIC.
Yeah. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Chad from Hendersonville, who wants to weigh in. Chad, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, I really appreciate your comment there, because when I was listening to what Orlovsky was saying there, I was like, the best game, Mahomes, who's unbelievable. Yes, yeah, he has his best game. I was thinking the same exact thing. I think he just has to play like Patrick Mahomes, and they're going to be fine. So I thought, I guess he could just move on, Orlovsky can just move on to his next round of calls and just keep saying the things with nobody to question him on that. So I appreciate you guys checking him on that. As far as what he's talking about, to me, as far as the NFL, what makes this whole kind of, in a fantasy world, what makes this whole season really interesting is all the quarterback movement. And, of course, starting with Watson, I think if I'm the Texans, I want to get him out of my – I want to get him into the NFC. And why not send him home? He's basically from Atlanta. Send him to Atlanta and package those picks. You're going to load up on number ones, probably as many as three. You get Matt Ryan back, and then you can find your young quarterback and kind of retool. So I just see a ton of movement. I also see Kirk Cousins going to San Francisco because Shanahan has this huge man crush on Kirk Cousins, and I think that's a situation. So there's going to be a ton of movement with quarterbacks moving around, maybe around eight or nine. And I also think Zach Wilson, the rookie to be out of BYU, is going to be the best quarterback in this draft, much better than Trevor Lawrence at the NFL game. So I'm curious.
Ooh, there's a called shot. Well, Chad, you didn't call in for called shot, but that's called shot.
That's a great shot. I like that, Chad.
Not even close, because Trevor Lawrence, great name. We've all been fascinated with his college game, but it's not going to translate to the NFL as much as people just automatically think. But when you go and break down Zach Wilson's game with what he's done at BYU, he's a star. He really is, and I think he'll go number two to the Jets, and that might free up Sam Darnold to go somewhere else. But I think you're going to see Zach Wilson completely dominate this game.
Hey, thanks for the call, Chad. We appreciate it.
Wow, how about that?
Chad from Provo, Utah. Thank you. Zach Wilson
looks good, man.
I was with him all through the call, and then I'm like, whoa. But, hey, we'll see. I think right now I would probably, you know, if I had to pick a horse between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, I think I'm going Trevor, but Zach Wilson is an intriguing talent.
On where he ends up. I mean, where does Zach Wilson end up? Because I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be great. I also don't have a hard time envisioning the Jaguars screwing things up either. So that's part of it too.
I think Art Smith would like to see that.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't really thought much about Atlanta, but I mean, I agree with the idea. If you're the Texans, the least amount of haunting that you can endure over the next few years from Deshaun would be good. So you can get, and of course an NFC team might get a little bit better deal. That's an interesting thought. Art Smith is like, sign me up, buddy.
So what do you think about that? Like, if you're the Texans, how much lesser of a deal are you willing to take to get him in the other conference rather than maybe your offer's better from certainly the Colts, which you'd have to have a heck of an offer from the Colts or the Dolphins or the Jets that are in your conference. How much, I guess, less of an offer are you willing to entertain if it gets him out of your conference and you don't have to deal with him?
Yeah, the Colts, like, better, you know, make Andrew Luck unretire and join your franchise. I don't know. I wouldn't say dramatically. Ultimately, you have to have the return. If there's some massive return from the Dolphins or whatever, yeah, then you got to do what's best. But I would say there'd probably be a little bit of a difference if you had two deals side by side and one was a little sweeter on the AFC side, but you still happy with, you know, and they're going to get some. They're going to get some great deals. And the Cousins thing to San Fran is interesting too. I mean, I think
– people love Kirk Cousins.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, Kirk Cousins, again, I liken him to Jared Goff, you know. If you put him in the right situation with the right things around him, I think he's a good quarterback. And at times better than that. And we saw it in the win at New Orleans last year in the playoffs. I think he can be better than Jimmy G. Jimmy G's stock is – plummeted a lot because he can't stay healthy either.
Yeah, but I remember the first three or four starts he made with San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh man, how did Belichick let this guy get away from New England?
Right,
Jimmy G, not quite the same.
Well, and Belichick obviously thought a lot of him.
Yeah,
I mean that's really the foundation of, you know, the back and forth between Brady and Belichick that led to them not being together now, and Belichick having to sit there and eat chicken wings on Sunday and cry as Tom wins another Super Bowl without him.
Man, it's going to be fascinating to watch. It's funny, like, we keep talking about Deshaun Watson and where he could end up. I don't hear a lot of chatter about New England. I mean, I wonder how interested Watson would be to go there. But number two, like, if you're the Patriots, you've got to figure that position out. But what do you have to offer up on the return to Houston that's attractive? Not
like
a lot.
Like, all these other deals we talk about, there's a pretty good quarterback coming back. There's a really high pick in this draft. I mean, I think the only thing you could do is package a whole bunch of picks, and that's the opposite of what Belichick likes to do, yeah. But he's also – he's got to figure something out. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I haven't seen much of that. But every team out there, to me, has got to be coming up with something to try to –
You'd think.
Try to get into this thing, right?
With the exception of about three or four, yeah. I mean,
again, like – you and I are probably both. I don't know if we're Tannehill stands, but we're on the positive side.
Yeah, we like Ryan Tannehill,
good quarterback. But I'm John Robinson. I'd see what's up too.
Yeah, like I mean,
see what's up. Give him a call.
It's not going to happen, but I'd certainly check in. Right. See what you want.
Yeah, I mean, who should not call Houston? Who should not call Houston? Okay, Kansas City.
Probably Green Bay.
I guess Green Bay.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah,
unless they want Jordan Love.
That's true. They just drafted their QB of the future, so
you can trade.
They want to immediately get rid of him.
Trade Deshaun Watson for Jordan Love.
We're giving up on QBs now before they even play. So
before they even active on game day.
Anybody else? I mean, if I'm Tampa Bay, I'm like, I know I just got to the Super Bowl with Brady, but let's talk.
They're not getting rid of. They're not making that call.
They're not making the call.
They're not making the call. They love some Tom Brady. They're not making that call.
Well, sure, but
I'm just telling you, they're not going to make that call. Especially, what if he goes out and wins?
Jason Light, make the call.
I agree. They should. I'm just telling you, they're not going to.
43. I know what it is to be 43 years old. He's 43 years old.
He's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Can't wait till Monday to see where he ranks on your list. And speaking of the game coming up on Sunday, it is time for the final edition of Pigskin Pick'em for this season. Joe Rexroad and I have got some work to do to catch up with Team Morth. We'll see if we can accomplish that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rexroad on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time. Time for the final edition of Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rexroad for this season. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth. Joe Rexroad, you and I have got some work to do, a quick standings update on the work we have left on our plate here for Pigskin Pick'em.
This is it. So, Morth still in the lead, but the lead has shrunk some. It hasn't been a great postseason for Morth. That's Marquise Munson, Ryan Porth. Combined team, they are 47-44, 56 points, 9-9 on locks. Second place, Robbie, 38-53, 49 points, but 11-7 on locks, the best of the three. I'm third, 39-52, 46 points, 7-11 on locks, which is brutal. So I'm three behind Robbie. I think you and I at least would like to stay out of the basement there. But, hey, maybe a magical Sunday we can catch Morth.
I could be like Kyle Shanahan and just blow this.
You could be. Hopefully you know how to count a little bit better than Kyle Shanahan did in that game. So we've got a lot to get to today here on the program on Pigskin Pick'em. Super picks questions are what we're using. You can check these out on thegamenashville.com as well. So without further ado, let's get started. Let's start off very simply. Who wins this game on Sunday between Tampa Bay and Kansas City? Ryan Porth, let's start with you.
Kansas City.
Kansas City is the winner for Ryan Porth. Joe Rexroad, who wins this game?
Okay, so just to be clear, we're doing this straight up. We are not using the line.
Straight up.
Okay. Chiefs, I'm making my lock.
Oh.
Guaranteed.
Give me the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Ooh.
Winning the Super Bowl. I've had a feeling about it all week. I don't know if it's because they just put my favorite team out or what the reasoning is, but I've had a feeling that Tom Brady gets it done and Tampa Bay wins this game.
Make it your lock, coward.
I'm not doing that.
All right.
I will not do
Fair
that.
Fair enough.
Give me the Bucs in this game. All right, the over-under is 56.5. How many total points will be scored? You can go over. You can go under. Joe Rexroad, we start with you. 56.5 in this game.
I mean, it's a big number.
It is.
And I'm always hesitant because, you know, you hear like the gambling pundits talk about how the general public hits the over way too often. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. I could see it going under, but I think I've got to go over here.
Joe Rexroad going with the over. Ryan Porth, over under 56.5.
Going with the under.
Ooh. A little bit of a defensive game here.
Going with the under, think there will be some long drives and maybe some field goals and not touchdowns.
I am also going with the under. If Tampa Bay is going to win this game, the more points that are scored, probably not great news for Tampa Bay in that part of it. Give me Tampa Bay a good defensive performance. It'll be close to 56.5, but I am going with the under.
By the way, we had to do picks for The Athletic, and my score was 34-23, okay. Chiefs, which is 57 points.
Look at
so
you.
I'm actually being consistent right now.
Look at you. Well done, Joe Rexroad. All right, of these options, who will throw for more passing yards, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes? Chad Henne, unfortunately, not on the list here in this competition. I will start. I say Patrick Mahomes throws for more yards in this game. I think that the Bucs are going to win. I think Mahomes will end up passing for more yards than Tom Brady in this game. Joe Rexroad, who throws for more yards, Mahomes or Brady?
Yeah, I really drift toward Brady because I feel like there's going to be a lot of fourth quarter soft zone, and he'd probably throw for 120 in the fourth. So it's really, really close for him, but I think I'm going to go with Mahomes.
Okay. So you talked Brady up for
yep.
30 seconds there and then went the other way. Ryan Porth, Brady or Mahomes? Who throws for more yards?
Mahomes!
Wow, y'all are all over the Chiefs in this competition. Way to go.
That's a tough one. A lot of times that more passing yards is the QB who's down big late, but which I think Brady will be, but we'll see.
Of these options, who will record more receiving yards? Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, or Travis Kelce? Ryan Porth, let's start with you.
I think the Bucs are going to do their best to not let Tyreek Hill go for 800 like he did last time they met back in the regular season.
Okay.
And that will open up lanes for former Cincinnati Bearcat Travis Kelce.
I should have known. Travis Kelce, the selection by Ryan Porth. I've already said on Call Your Shot Friday, Mike Evans ends up with the most receiving yards in this game. I believe that. I think he's going to have a big game in the Super Bowl. Give me Mike Evans as the most yards in this matchup between the Chiefs and the Bucs. Joe Rexroad, Godwin, Evans, Hill, and Kelce. Who has the most receiving yards in this game?
Okay, I guess I'll take Tyreek Hill then. He's not going to go for 200 in the first like he did last time. And actually, I think they'll do a good job. But I see late third, early fourth, 80-yarder or so.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, boom, he goes to the top of the list. Give me Tyreek Hill.
So to that point, how many yards will be registered as the game's longest completion? The over-under set at 49.5. Joe Rexroad, we start with you. Over-under 49.5 for the longest completion in this game.
I'm big on the over there.
Big on the
and
over.
And both of these teams go vertical.
Yeah.
And I feel like we may see multiple passes to hit the over.
I am going the over on that as well, and I am making it my lock. I feel very good about the over on the 49.5 yards. I think we'll see a few big plays in this game. Ryan Porth, over, under 49.5.
I'm going to go over and make that lock my lock as well.
Ooh, look at you. A little strategery from Ryan Porth there.
That was going to be my lock all along.
Okay.
Now I hope I'm wrong.
The first.
Keep it short, guys. Keep it short.
The first.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Could be. I mean, shame Philip Rivers not in this game. The first score of the game will come via which of the following options? Offensive touchdown, field goal, safety, defensive touchdown, or special teams touchdown. So some different options on the board there. Ryan Porth, let's start with you. What does the first score of the game come from? What format does it look like?
Give me B, field goal.
Field goal as the first score of the game. Joe Rexroad, of those options, offensive touchdown, field goal, safety, defensive touchdown, special teams touchdown, what does the first score of the game look like? Where does it come from?
Safety, make it my lock, part two. No, I'm just kidding. Offensive touchdown. I think there's going to be a few. Give me the offensive TD.
I will also go offensive touchdown as well. I think the scripted plays to begin these drives by both teams should be very fascinating. I'm interested to see what Andy Reid could come up with specifically on that regard. So which player will score the first touchdown of the game? So you can take this any direction you want to take it. I'll start here. I will say Ronald Jones scores the first touchdown of the game in the Super Bowl. I think Tampa Bay strikes first. Ronald Jones finds his way into the end zone. Joe Rexroad, who scores the first touchdown of the game?
I like that one. A little bit of a deep cut, but certainly you could see that happening. I'm going to go with Mr. Kelce. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce.
Okay.
In the red zone. I know I'm going for I'm hitting the greatest hits here, but you know,
gotta play
I feel good
works,
about
man.
Them. That's right.
Ryan Porth, who scores the opening touchdown in this game?
Tyreek Hill.
All righty, Tyreek Hill, all on the board. Which team will be leading at halftime? Kansas City, Tampa Bay, or will the game be tied? Ryan Porth, we start with you.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I'm going to say Tampa Bay leads at half, and then they lose it in the second.
I'm going to say Kansas City is leading at halftime, and Brady finds a way to come back in the second half. Joe Rexrode, which team will be leading at halftime, or will it be tied?
So I'm tempted to just go tied, just you know, just to be different. But maybe you and I can make a little run on Porth. Give me the Chiefs.
All righty. So the Kansas City Chiefs leading at halftime, according to Joe Rexrode. The margin of victory for the winning team will be what? 1 to 3 points, 4 to 7, 7 to 10, 11 to 14, 15 to 21, or over 21 points. Joe Rexrode, we begin with you. You got the Chiefs winning. What do you think the margin of victory is?
Throw me those again. 1 to 3, 4 to 7, 7 to 10, 11 to 15.
11 to 14, 15 to 21.
15 to 21.
Yeah.
Or 21 plus.
Or 21 plus.
Give me. I made a score prediction, and it was 11. Give me 11.
So you're going 11 to 14. 11 to 14 points. I will say Tampa Bay wins this game by 4 to 7 points. Give me the Bucs by 4 to 7. Ryan Porth, you've taken the Chiefs. What does the margin of victory look like?
4 to 7.
4 to 7 as well. So that off the board. I'm going with the Bucs. The other two going with the Chiefs. What position does the game's MVP play? Do we really need to ask this question? What we got here? Ryan Porth, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with the tight end.
Oh,
Travis Kelce.
He is a lot of Cincinnati homerism
Super Bowl
going on.
MVP.
Oh, man. Ooh. Travis Kelce.
That would have been a good called shot, too.
That would have been.
Joe Rexrode, what position are you going with to win the MVP of the Super Bowl?
So do I just make the same pick as you? You know, I mean, I'm trying to catch up with you. But I can't let you just have a freebie. Give me quarterback.
Give me the quarterback as well. I think Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl MVP in this competition. All
the
right,
GOAT.
So give me.
He'll throw seven picks. The GOAT.
The exact number of points scored in this game. You've said, Joe Rexrode, I believe 57. Is on the table for your prediction, so we have yours. Ryan Porth, your exact number of points scored in this game is what?
55.
Ryan Porth going with 55. I will go with 54. Give me 54 points scored in this game.
So this is closest you can be over, under, just whoever's closest.
I guess, yeah.
Porth, you just got prices righted, buddy.
Sure did. Hope you enjoy that.
Wow,
does
we might
know what the Price is Right is.
Have you ever heard of the Price is
yes,
Right?
Okay. I used to watch it a lot. Thank you.
Just making sure.
Bob Barker was my dude.
He was everybody's dude
when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
By the way, you have to hit it like
on the dot.
On the dot, don't you?
Yeah.
No, it's got to be close. I mean,
that's the tiebreaker. So it's not part of the actual competition. Okay. I probably didn't mention that. It's
okay.
A tiebreaker.
But I still think it's closest. It's got to be closest to the pin, right?
He just wants as many points.
We don't get closer to the pin on the first touchdown.
He wants as many points as possible. There's some
selfish
motivation here by Rexrode.
Like usually, I've run some NCAA tournament pools in high school, by the way. I got the whole English department signed up, getting teachers to gamble as a youth. But by the way.
Great influence.
Yes, thank you. That's how we do it. You do the tiebreaker, and if you have something like that, it doesn't have to be exact. It's just whoever's closest.
Porth, he's putting on the full blitz.
The tiebreaker doesn't. Yeah, the tiebreaker doesn't have to be exact.
Says the guy who says you lose a bet if it pushes, which you just get your money back.
House wins.
You get your money back.
There's no ties.
If you took the
there's
Montreal
no crying in baseball, there's no ties in pigskin pickles.
If you took the Montreal Canadiens to hit the over two goals last night, they ended up with two goals, and you get your money back.
Okay.
You don't lose.
That's a different competition.
Yeah, that's not this.
But you've had this thing all season long with the record. If you push, you lose.
I lost the first time on that.
But you know, well, you know what?
I don't remember that. I have to go back and check the tape. Rexrode could be blowing smoke.
Oh, well, you could. It's on the tape.
Okay. All
right. Well, it's majority wins. I'm raising my hand. I vote for whoever's closest. Come on, Robbie.
Me too.
There we go. Labor against management. Labor beats management.
Come on.
Again.
All right. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I'll allow it.
Have some of that, Ham Weiss.
We appreciate it. Oh, that does it for the final edition of Pigskin Pick'em, boys. good luck in this competition, Joe Rexroad.
I don't think you mean that.
Yeah, I don't. It's going to take some work on our part.
Competition. We got a shot.
That's all we can ask for in the last week of the season. When we come back, we'll offer up our final thoughts for the Super Bowl, looking ahead to this weekend. Also, we'll have your opportunity to win some free beer as well. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rexroad, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. And we've got your opportunity right now for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. And we've got a trivia question to toss your way. The first person to guess the correct answer on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, will win this $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House. And without further ado, Ryan Porth, I turn things over to you for today's trivia question.
So this is Tampa Bay's first Super Bowl appearance in like 18 years?
Yes.
18 years. They won that game against the Oakland Raiders. Who was the Super Bowl MVP for the Buccaneers in that game?
This is a great trivia question. And if you know the answer, the Super Bowl MVP in the one and only trip for the Buccaneers so far to the Super Bowl, send us your text, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And the first person to guess correctly will win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. This is going to be a good one, so I'm interested to see how quickly these questions roll in.
That's a very good question. Very good question. This is where I wish people didn't have phones. I wish we didn't have phones and Google. This could take, although then it would take us like, it might be until Monday until someone like looked it up at the library.
Or, you know, maybe people are smarter than you and they just know this. This right off the top of their head.
Could be.
It was a great game. I loved watching that game. I know a lot of Raiders fans did not like watching that game.
Yeah.
Tough day for Rich Gannon.
Chucky.
Yeah. Chucky gets his revenge in the game.
Future Vols coach Chucky on the sideline.
Yeah, so you feel great, obviously, about Kansas City in this game. You've predicted them to win by 11 points in this matchup against Tampa Bay. How much of a factor was the offensive line in this decision? Or was it simply, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's not an ideal circumstance, but it's Patrick Mahomes. He'll find a way to overcome it.
I think it will be a good game that, you know, the Chiefs will tack one on and end up winning by two scores. But I don't look at this necessarily like a complete blowout. Now, if they had no issues with the offensive line, I think I'd probably pick them to win more like by like 17 to 20. I mean, Tampa Bay is very good. They're on a heck of a run. Amazing, really, you know, go on the road. And I know it's not the same thing being on the road, but still, you travel three straight weekends and win playoff games to get to this, including against the team that most people thought would get to the Super Bowl. I just think Kansas City's at a different level when they want to be Kansas City. And, you know, you saw that in the Cleveland game. I thought Cleveland could hang in that game. And if Mahomes didn't get hurt, it's name your score, you know. And again, the Bills, a lot of people thought the Bills would hang with them. I mean, they toyed with them. So I think the offensive line stuff could make a difference, but ultimately, I think they're going to have a plan, and they got the best quarterback right now.
I just wonder if you're Andy Reid in this game, you know that he's going to have to get out of the pocket at times with the pass rush. I'm confident Tampa Bay is going to get to him, and they're going to generate some pass rush. Mahomes is going to have to move around. How healthy is that foot? He's had 2 weeks to kind of be off of it since his last game. And if you're Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, probably don't need to call a whole lot of design runs for Patrick Mahomes in this game. That would be my piece of advice based on what we've seen earlier in the postseason from the Chiefs.
You know what, though? This is the Super Bowl. It's the last game.
I get it.
You go in the offseason, he says.
Maybe in the fourth quarter, if you need him to do it, go ahead. But
he says his toe is healthy. I mean, yeah, you don't want to do it much. And again, like a guy like Devin White, although Brett Kern totally should have stiff-armed him and scored a TD on that play. But
I know.
You
know,
that's
ridiculous.
On you. That's on you, Brett Kern. But that is a guy who you worry about hitting your QB. But at the same time, a little bit of threat of that, and you might need it. I mean, you got to do some stuff to slow them down, to slow down the pass rush.
By the way, we have a winner.
Oh, winner in the competition
for
already.
The trivia question.
Okay.
A lot of correct answers, but a lot of guesses. A lot of people texting in. We got guesses for Brad Johnson,
ooh,
Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks.
I like that. That means they're not cheating. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. The correct answer is Dexter Jackson.
Yes.
Defensive back who had a big game that night. And Joey from Gallatin is the winner. My favorite response, though, was I would assume a voice to text or an autocorrect, which was Dexterity Jackson. And then they texted back in and said Dexter. That was Kenneth. Not quite quick enough to get that in before Joey from Gallatin. So congrats to Joey. He's going to Bavarian Beer House.
Way to go, Joey. Win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House in Opera Mills. So way to go. And we had the voice to text and the autocorrect on our text line sometimes, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's great. Yesterday we had a Nausea Harris instead of Najee Harris from Alabama. That may be my favorite one of all time.
Nausea Harris and Dexterity Jackson.
He gave Vols fans a lot of nausea the last few years.
One more dad joke to get in before the show's over today. Way to go, Porth.
Had to meet my quota for the week.
Yeah. Know who doesn't get nausea? Dan Hamwee.
Well, speaking of quotas, we exceeded our quota on Dan's in this show.
Yeah, we did.
Dan Hamwee.
an amazing Dan show. My favorite Dan, of course, was Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts. If you missed the interview with Dan Fouts that we had earlier, we had him on in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll tweet that out for you a little bit later, and you can find it on Apple and Spotify, as well as thegamenashville.com. Lots of audio. If you missed any part of our show today, you can find anything you're looking for there on thegamenashville.com. So I know the Dan Fouts interview was a treat for you, Rex Rhodes. I'm glad we got to do that.
Did I go fanboy enough? Maybe it was.
I thought you could have taken it up a notch.
Yeah, I think I could have too.
Yeah.
Well, let's have him on next week. Why can't we have Dan Fouts every week?
We could try. What's he doing?
I mean, I'm not saying no to that. I mean, you could have told him that you slept in your Dan Fouts jersey every night.
You know, growing up. You know, actually, that brings up a little bit of a sore spot. I asked for a Dan Fouts jersey.
Ooh.
I never got one.
Oh, man.
And in the
same, not too late.
I got a Billy Sims jersey, which is awesome. And I made a joke about Lynn Dickey. I got a Lynn Dickey jersey. I got a Lynn Dickey Packers. Because like my parents are just like, he likes the NFL.
Yeah.
Here's an NFL quarterback, Lynn Dickey. But I didn't get Dan Fouts.
Go Pack.
Lynn Dickey was pretty bad.
Yes, he was.
Fouts was awesome.
Dan Fouts was awesome. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Help everybody enjoy Super Bowl weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.